30 feet down or whatever. We'd have to keep calling her back. She'd come back, and then she'd keep drifting away from the family because she's just going with the current of the waves. And this morning, we're going to look into the reality that there are currents that happen within your heart and within your spirit and within your mind, within your lives that you're following. There is a flow that is following that when you follow it, it takes you somewhere. And we want to understand the nature of that and how to make sure that when we're flowing with the right thing. Because we don't want to end up drifting away from our family and drifting away from security and drifting away from the things that Jesus wants for us in our lives. So we want to make sure that we're following the right current. We just don't want to drift. But if it's taking us the right direction, then by all means, let's follow that current. So how do we read that, and how do we manage damage? And I don't know if you've ever worked on something in your house, a project, or you helped someone out with something, and you didn't realize you were using a particular muscle until the next morning that muscle was hurting. And you didn't even realize you had that muscle, but you do, and it's killing you. You didn't know at the time, but now you do, because damage set in or a strain set in, and now it's too late. I mean, you could take some painkiller, you could do some different things, but now it's hurting. You can't redo that because the damage has been done. And life is like that sometimes, where we're living a certain way, doing certain things, nothing's going wrong, we think everything's fine, and before you know it, you end up in the pit without even knowing that's where you're headed. And you're in the scenario that you're trapped and things got damaged, and you don't know how to get out of that now. So what we want to do this morning, what Paul wants to help us with, is how do we manage damage? How do we prevent it, and how do we get out of it once we are in a place where we've been damaged? And we've been, the first three chapters, we see this, again, this interaction between God strengthening us and us reacting. And again, I want to emphasize that it's not that we're necessarily making something happen. We know that all the power and all the strength is coming from the Lord, from the Holy Spirit. But you might have noticed that there are some people that are stronger than you in the Lord. There are some people that things are going better for them than they are for you. There's also some people that are not strong in the Lord. There aren't things that are going right in their life, and we look different. And why is it? Because the same Holy Spirit that's working on me is working on them. The same scripture that's available to me is available to them. So why do we look different from person to person? And part of it is because of the nature of this dance of faith. God comes in and gives us strength and gives us access to this strength, and we have a choice to make. We can choose to interact with what God's doing or not, and based on that choice will impact the strength that you have that's working within you. So God makes it known that all these resources are available to you, and you react to it by getting in a right posture before God. Call it salvation, call it sanctification, call it things that happen after you came to know Christ. Because I don't know if you know this, but your decisions with Christ don't end with accepting Jesus. Every single day you're making choices, and throughout the day you're making choices of whether or not you're going to submit to the Spirit's leading or you're going to do it your way. It's a constant choice, and your choices are dictating what God's going to do in your life. So you decide to get in the right posture, and now you become stronger because of it. Not because you made it happen, but because God, you now allowed God, you gave him the permission, because he, for whatever reason, is not going to just come in like an invader and make it happen. You have to choose to let him in. And so we choose to let him in by getting in the right posture. And then at some point, there's a salvation experience. We accept Jesus and we're saved. But we don't really get that there is a greater impact of our salvation than just simply going to heaven. And I shouldn't say just simply, that's still an amazing thing. But there's an impact that has on our earthly life, and so we begin to realize that and open our spirit to what's happening there, and God does more things and we get stronger. And then as God strengthens us, then we realize that there's this body called the church and we're supposed to be a part of it. And we realize that there's more to it than just going to services or streaming services. There's actually interaction and accountability and challenging each other and ministering to one another and all of that. And we realize that's supposed to happen. We participate in that, and then we get stronger because we're doing the things that God has called us to do. We're interacting with the body that's strengthening us, and because we're stronger, we can see things we couldn't see before. hear things we couldn't hear before, and we begin to recognize that I have a specific, unique calling to me. You have a unique calling to you, an assignment that God has given you to fulfill, and there's a longing in your heart to fulfill it. So you see it, and you begin to fulfill it. You begin to do the thing that God has called you to uniquely do, and then because of that, God gives you more and strengthens you more. Then you realize there are resources that are available to you that God has given to you, and you weren't using those resources. So you begin to utilize the resources God has given you, and the result is that He strengthens you. So this is the dance that we do. We constantly are interacting with God and making choices. And God, in a moment's notice, can just come in if He wants to and give you 100% of all that you need and make you the complete picture. But He doesn't do that. He dances with us. He comes in and He woos us and He speaks to us and He maneuvers and He challenges us and He touches us. And we choose to react, or we choose not to react, or we choose to react well, or we choose to react poorly. And those choices impact the quality or the strength of my spiritual well-being at this moment. And then, as we moved into chapter 4, is when He begins to start to tell us, since, by the way, you are so strong, here's what you should be doing since you have the capacity to do that. And the first step was that we need to be quality individuals. We are representing Jesus, and so we best act like that. And we are able to act like that because we went through 3 chapters of how God is strengthening us. Then we need to work towards this utopia church, this body of Christ that is all that it's supposed to be. And that doesn't mean that if I don't see it, I haven't found the right church yet locally. That means that I need to be a part of working towards seeing this through the enabling power of the Holy Spirit come to fruition. So I need to be a quality person, I need to work towards this utopia community, and then that leads us into chapter 4, verse 17, which says, "So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed." Verse 20. "That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You are taught with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." So we see that Paul says, "Now this I say," and he says that because of what he just said. You know, you're a part of this amazing community, this amazing body. This should be happening. And now, because of that, I tell you that you need to do this. Don't be like the Gentiles anymore, which says something. Which says that I could be following Jesus and still not be where I'm supposed to be. Because here Paul's writing to believers in Ephesians, and he's telling them that, you know, some of you aren't really what you're supposed to be. You're living like the Gentiles. And that's, if you don't know what that means, that's a fancy way of saying the unbelievers. That's a lot of times how they referred in the New Testament to unbelievers was the Gentiles. You're acting like the unbelievers when you're a believer. Now, you should note, though, that there's a part in there where Paul begins to question whether or not they are or have come to know Christ. And so there is a moment to question that. But he's telling them that they shouldn't be like that. Now, how did they end up like that if they're like that? And I don't know if you noticed, but there is a progression here. In the first half of this passage, there is this is happening in the life of some people, and the reason why that's happening is this. And then the reason why this is happening is because of this. And the reason that this is happening is because of this. And he moves to a starting point that unraveled the whole thing. And there was a journey that led to this living like the Gentiles. And then the second half of the passage, he reverses it and says, but this is what you should be doing. You should be doing this, and then this, and then this, and he flows us out of the living like Gentiles. Have you ever felt like damaged goods before? Have you ever felt like there's something wrong with you? Or maybe you just blew it too much and you don't know if you'll ever recover what was lost? Well, I want you to know that the Holy Spirit, through His power and through His wisdom, can enable us to prevent and to get out of damage or stumbling. We can do that with the strength of the Holy Spirit if we follow the wisdom that He gives us. Preventing these things is given by understanding. If I understand, I'm going to be able to prevent or find my way out. So what are the two pathways? Again, what current are we flowing with? Are we just being flopped right onto the shore like Maria was, or are we leading to a better destination? So there are two pathways this morning. The first is the path away from Christ. And I want you to note that it says that people who ended up in this scenario, they're outside of the life of Christ. Now, whether that means that they backslidden to the point of not being saved, or it just means that they are not within a place where they're receiving the strength that Jesus is giving them, the full picture, but whatever that means specifically, they are outside of the life of Jesus Christ because of following this pathway. What is the pathway away from Jesus? First note in verse 19, it says, and again, we're working up, working backwards here, have given themselves up to sensuality. And other words are listed there. If you want to know how to get into the current of moving away from Christ, allow your impulses to lead you. Do what your desires tell you to do. I hate that line, follow your heart. Have you ever heard people say that? I hate that because that a lot of times means just do whatever you feel you should be doing. And there is a problem in that when I begin to let my impulses lead you. And sometimes we don't realize we're letting our impulses lead us. Sometimes people react on impulse and they blame the Holy Spirit for it. You know, well, the Holy Spirit led me to whack you upside the head. You know, I beg to differ there. But many times we let our impulses be our lead. Now, there's nothing wrong with satisfaction. There's nothing wrong with pursuing, being satisfied with certain desires. Not all desires fall in the category of sin. The problem is when it becomes the lead. When you are making your choices day in and day out, primarily by your urges and your cravings and what your body and what your emotions and what your mind is telling you to do, and if you're being led by that, you are taking a step away from the life of Christ. You are making decisions now and choices that are taking you down the shoreline away from what is going to give you the strength that you need. And so we want to make sure that we're watching that, our temptation to follow our impulses, which happens sometimes if you get irritated. Have you ever been irritated or mad or cranky or frustrated? And you want to react on impulse, or afraid, and you want to react on impulse. And that is not where the Lord wants us to be. And the more we do that, the more we drift. And if we allow ourselves to be led by our impulses, we eventually arrive at another issue, and that is verse 19, 18 to 19, says, due to the hardness of their heart, they have become callous. Now, callous, you might know, I use lotion often because I don't like my hands to get prickly, and I can't remember what the name of that is. I have a mild form of where your skin starts to get crackly and white and stuff. Psoriasis, maybe it's that. I don't. That's not the word. I don't think. But anyway, I put lotion on my hands all the time to prevent that. And so the result of that is I have baby smooth skin hands. The problem with that is they can get pricked easily. Where unlike Elmer, who works on stuff all the time, has gotten his hands callous and hard, so nothing really pricks those easily. And your heart can do the same thing. Your spirit can do the same thing. Where you are doing what your body tells you to do, and then what happens is you begin to solidify problems in your life. Well, how does that work? It works like this often when people get addicted to things. They get into substance abuse or alcohol or codependent relationships, or even their use of TV and social media and those things. And not that there's anything wrong with that, but some people get enslaved to those things, and they do their impulses so much that, you know what happens with your impulses and your cravings? They don't get satisfied. You know, you attempt to satisfy your anger, and then you find out that you get angry again. You attempt to satisfy the lust that you might have in your mind, and you find that you become lustful again. You attempt to satisfy your need for pleasure or for entertainment, and you find that the next day you crave it again. And what happens is the craving gets stronger the more you feed it. The more you feed into your impulses, the more you allow your anger to do what it does, the more angry you become. The more you use substances and abuse them, the more you can't live without them. And you solidify your problems, and you end up into that scenario where I didn't want to end up here, but now I am, and now I don't know how to get out of this. And you might have talked to some people who smoke, and not saying that you can or can't smoke, but many people who smoke say, I wish I never started. And that's an admission that they know that this is a problem, but now I can't get out of it because the problem has become bigger than what it was before. And so I need to watch this flow, that before you decide to allow your impulses lead you, understand that you're getting yourself stuck into a trap. And so I want to monitor the flow, the current of what Paul says in Galatians 5, the deeds or the acts of the flesh. What does it say? Sin enslaves us. Sin's goal is not to just give you pleasure. Sin's goal is to make you stuck, to get you in this current where this is how I'm moving. Now, how can I move back that way? And it gets harder the less often you address your issues. Then verse 18, it says that ignorance that is in them, you begin to cause blindness in your life because of just going about life fulfilling your urges and your desires. And these can be sinful urges. These can be just urges in general. But many people, the way they live through life is not, God, show me, God, guide me, God, lead me. What does the Scripture say about this? Many people go through life just making their own choices based on what they feel they should be doing. And they end up solidifying problems, and they end up not being able to see things that they should be able to see otherwise. You take the addict, for example. The addict might recognize that there is a problem. They might see some of the causes to the problem. And that actually is some of what leads to the deception, is because since they realize some things, they think they notice all the things. And I don't know if you've interacted with people that have a problem and it's not your problem, but it's theirs. And you begin to think, why can't they see that? I don't understand. They keep doing that. I mean, there's the side thing over there that they keep doing, and that's what's making that happen, and they can't even see it because they're stuck in it. They're entrenched in the flow of it, and they can't see some things that other people that aren't stuck in that flow can see because they've allowed themselves to be pulled within the current of the flesh rather than the current of the Spirit, and they're being moved away from the life of Christ. Then verse 18, darkened in their understanding. Eventually, confusion gets introduced. And what happens is, and I don't know if you've ever experienced this in your life at various points, maybe before Christ, maybe at points after, where you begin to realize that there are problems with you, and you're trying to figure out a way out, and you recognize some answers, you recognize some solutions, but you know that there's some things you don't understand yet and you can't figure out. Have you ever hit rock bottom before? Have you ever hit a place where you hit this crisis moment in your life emotionally and you thought, I don't know what to do anymore. I don't know how to get out of this. I don't know how to make this stop. I keep failing. I keep struggling, and I don't know what to do with this, and I don't know what the answer is. And it is many times at this rock bottom place that people begin to make some of the right choices, and they decide to turn to Christ, call out to Him for help, and they begin to be pulled by the Holy Spirit out of that. But sometimes people don't make that choice at the rock bottom place. Sometimes people decide, well, since I can't fix this, I might as well just keep going. or I might as well just try to ignore it. And they just try to get distracted. They do more partying, more drinking, more drugs, more sex, more TV, more numbing my brain, more everything I can get my hands on so that I don't realize what's happening. And they enter more into blindness, more into solidifying their problems, and more in letting their impulses do what they want to do, and they get worse. What does the Bible say? Evil people will go from worse to worse. Because it's a current, because it's a flow. If I begin to let myself flow with the flesh, it will take me places I don't want to go, and it'll lead me in places where I think I can pull myself out of that. But you might be surprised in the traps that you end up in. And so if you're finding yourself struggling spiritually or even struggling in other areas of life, ask yourself, what current, what path are you currently on? Are you the path that leads to Christ or the path that leads away from Christ? Because if you're on that road, that could be the reason why you're depressed, sad, conflicted, feeling shame. That could be the reason why you're insecure, why you don't see anything happening when you're praying, why you don't sense God's presence. It's not because God doesn't care, but because you removed yourself, as Paul said, from the life of Christ. You walked away from it by your choices. So what if I'm there? Now that I'm there, how do I get out of this mess? Or if I'm not there, how do I make sure that I don't end up in this mess? The answer is to take the path that leads to Christ. What is it that leads me to Christ? Verse 21, Paul says, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, and that is Jesus, as the truth is in Jesus. The first step in this pathway that Paul describes is to receive the revelation of Christ, to accept what Jesus is revealing to you about who he is and what he does, whether it's coming through Scripture, whether it's coming through the Holy Spirit speaking directly to you. As Jesus begins to interact with you, you need to begin to respond to that, and that's faith. That's, yes, Jesus says he's the Son of God. I trust in that and I believe in that. Jesus is the Messiah. I trust in that. He is God in the flesh. I trust in that. Jesus is talking to me right now and trying to lead me in a direction. I'm going to follow that. And the more I receive the revelation of Jesus, and listen, it can't just be somebody else's experience. You have to come to know Jesus. And we've mentioned Matthew 7 a number of times. That at the judgment, he will say that people are going to depart, even though they did all these miraculous faith-based things. But the thing that they lacked was they didn't know Jesus, or Jesus didn't know them in the relational sense. We need to receive Christ and interact with him and be in the vine, as Jesus puts it in John 15. I need to receive the revelation of Christ. Then verse 22, put off your old self. I need to make my impulses submit to Christ. And that's easier said than done. And as I was saying earlier, it all depends on the enabling power of the Holy Spirit, yes, but it also depends on your choices as well. And so I need to, when I recognize that my impulse, my urge, is not Christ-like, or Jesus is telling me not to do that, I need to choose to not do that and make my desires submit to what Jesus wants. Or if my desires is that I don't want to do that, and Jesus is saying, you must do that, then I need to tell my body, as Paul says, beat my flesh into submission. I need to tell my body, no, you will do that. You will submit to Jesus, because I'm not going to let my desires lead me. I'm going to let Jesus lead me. And again, don't misunderstand me. You can fulfill your desires and you can find satisfaction as long as it does not conflict with Jesus Christ. They can't become the primary lead. Jesus needs to become the lead, the Lord, and you must submit your desires to him. The third step in this path to Christ, verse 23, be renewed in the spirit of your minds. Continually get your thinking adjusted. We need to constantly get our thinking adjusted. And the way we do that can be the leading of the Holy Spirit and should be the leading of the Holy Spirit, but there's a disclaimer there. Because how many people claim that they heard the Spirit tell them something that was absolutely contrary to the Word of God? And so Scripture, the Bible, has to examine whether or not I heard the Spirit's voice correctly. And so I need to study the Bible regularly, read through it regularly, and get the principles that it's teaching, and ask myself on a daily basis at least, and I urge you to not just read it occasionally. Read it every day and think about it and meditate on it and dwell on it and memorize it. And then ask yourself, what am I supposed to do with this? And how do I apply this to my life? And then when you go throughout the day to make your decisions, we need to be asking ourselves, what does the Bible say about this? You know, this thought that I have, this opinion that I have, this feeling that I'm feeling, this thing that I am thinking about doing right now, what does the Bible say about this? And I'm constantly adjusting my thinking accordance with the Word of God. I also know that sometimes we can get it right in the way we interpret, or get it wrong in the way we interpret Scripture. And so I need to make sure I'm involved in the body of Christ where I'm hearing other people preach and teach from the Word of God to see if, am I getting that correctly? I need to have other close friends that are mature followers of Jesus, that I'm letting them feed into my life so that I'm getting challenged in my thinking on whether or not my opinions, my thoughts, my feelings, my actions, my lifestyle are in alignment with God's Word. And there's a reason why it needs to be a constant adjustment of your thinking. Throughout your day, throughout your week, you're talking with people who are in the current of the flesh, even if sometimes you don't realize it. You're reading things in books and on the internet that are coming from the voice of the flesh constantly. You are watching television and listening to music and watching movies and doing all those sort of things. And throughout the day, every day, we're being barraged by the voice of the flesh. And I ask you, what is the ratio in your life between the voice of the flesh and the voice of the Word of God? And it will show you how desperately we need the Word of God in our lives, because if you just read a chapter in the morning and that's all you did, then throughout the day, the current of that beach and those waves are pulling you away. And sometimes you don't even realize it. Have you ever drifted and didn't even realize you were drifting, and then you thought, how in the world did I get here? Just like I've said to you before, when I was driving home from college years back, and I was driving from Springfield, Missouri to Dayton, Ohio, actually, and there was one point where I was in Indiana on my way home, and I thought, I don't remember the entire state of Illinois. Because I think I went on autopilot, and didn't even remember driving through the state of Illinois. My mom didn't know that at the time. She still doesn't know. I don't know if you're watching now, Mom, but that didn't happen. But we drift without even knowing it at times. And we need to constantly adjust our thinking by the Scripture, always reevaluating everything. Because I've heard some person say one time, well, I can't believe they're still doing Bible study. Didn't they figure it out the first time through studying the Bible? And the answer is, no, we didn't figure it out yet, because if I'm not exactly like Jesus Christ, then there's still more to learn, and I still need to go back to it. And in order for us to swim upstream, we have to keep adjusting our thinking. The last step, verse 24, says, put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. I need to pursue holiness. I need to be passionate to be holy. Though I know that it's the Holy Spirit in me that's enabling me to do this, it's all the resources that God has given me, it's the truth of His Word, but I still have to make a choice to go after holy living. And there's an interesting dynamic here. If you've ever gone on a diet, you have realized that the foods that you're now telling yourself to eat, you don't want to eat those foods. The things that you're trying to convince yourself to eat because this is going to make my body feel better, you don't have any desire to eat those foods. You're just making yourself eat it. But the things you want to eat, bacon, nice brownie ice cream chocolate sundae with all the fixings on it, potato chips, cookies, cheesecake, pulled pork, all the stuff that's fatty, greasy, sugary, not good for you. That's what your urges are telling you to eat. That's what you want to eat. But you discipline yourself. And what happens is if you discipline yourself enough, you begin to discover that your tastes are acquired. You didn't come into this world saying, give me bacon. You didn't come into this world saying, give me sugar, give me grease, and give me fatty foods. You came into this world with the ability to eat food, and you begin to acquire taste. And if you train yourself and you make the movement, you will begin at some point to say, you know, I like eating vegetables. I like eating carrots. I like eating this healthy stuff. You will actually begin to desire it. And you will actually, I don't know if you've had this experience before where you tried to get off sweets, which is hard to do when you're a stay-at-home with four children who just want to eat sugar all the time, and it's all around you. It's hard to not eat the sugar. But if you've ever done it and you've gotten yourself to not eat the sugar, and you realize how good it makes your body feel when you start to eat healthy, I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but then you look at something that is sweet and sugary and used to look amazing, it makes you sick to your stomach now when you look at, oh, that doesn't look good anymore. And some of you here are looking at me funny because maybe you haven't gone down that journey. But I'm telling you, when you go down that journey, your taste changes. It's the same with the two paths that are options before us. When you've been walking down the path of the flesh and you try to make a sudden turn, the things of the Spirit aren't necessarily appealing to your flesh and your desires, okay? At times, you don't really want to pray. You don't really want to be kind and gracious and patient. You don't want to hold your tongue. You don't want to trust God. You don't want to give. You don't want to share your faith. You don't want to go to church or Bible study right now. You don't want to sit down and read the Word of God. You don't want to do those things. You don't want to try to be pure and holy. You don't want to do those things. Why? Because you've trained your taste to like the taste of flesh rather than a taste of the Spirit. And I want you to know something. If you choose the path of Christ or the path to Christ of walking in the Spirit, at some point you will get to the place of David where he was able to say that he satisfies all the desires of my heart because he is the desire of my heart. And you'll train your senses and you will manage the damage that can come in your life. Otherwise, you're fighting a losing battle. You're trying to fight the flesh while you're at the same time feeding it, trying to fight the flesh on your own, trying to fight the flesh without the insight of the Word, without the accompaniment of other believers, without the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. You're fighting a losing battle. But if you begin to give yourself completely to the path of Christ, I'm telling you, there's a way out of the things that you find yourself in. There's a joy at the other end, and I'm telling you, it feels so much better on the other side of that path than going down the other direction. Worship team, will you come and prepare to lead us? And as they're coming, you're at home. You find yourself, whether you're watching now or later, you're finding yourself stuck. You're stuck in a rut, in a pit. You're stuck in habits that you can't seem to break. And the Lord wants you to know He sees a way out of that. You might not be able to see it. You might not even be able to believe it. But Jesus sees a way out of the situation you're in, out of the habits you're in. You find yourself led by your impulses. You're impulsive, you're angry, you're bitter, you're sad, can't get out of bed, can't get yourself moving. Jesus wants you to know there's a way out of that. And He wants to, and will you lead us and come as you are, Joe? And Jesus wants you to be not separated from the life of Christ, as we see in this passage, but experiencing the fullness of that power, the fullness of that life. And it's up to us whether or not we're going to join in this dance of saying, Jesus, You're leading, I'm going to start following. Well, this hurts a little bit. And oh, do I feel guilty now. But I'm walking with you, Jesus. And oh, now other people are starting to give me trouble. And boy, would I really like to react the way I usually do. But I'm going to choose to follow you, Lord. Oh, does it make sense to me to do that thing that you're asking me to do? And I don't understand this. I don't know why I need to read your word. I don't know why I need to pray. I don't know why I need to live a holy life. I don't know why I need to give. I don't know why I need to share my faith. I don't know why I need to get involved in the body of Christ. I don't understand that. And when I do those things, sometimes it doesn't work. Sometimes nothing happens. Sometimes problems show up. And I don't know what to do, except that I'm going to decide to just trust you. And if you find yourself struggling, wrestling, whether in a big way or in a small way, listen, it's better to adjust the current that's happening within you now. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit will well within us like springs of living water, this current. There is this river of life that wants to flow out of us. Jesus mentioned it, the woman at the well, and I think one of our songs this morning referenced this, that the water you drink in this life will not satisfy, but the water He gives will always satisfy. And so this morning, as you wrestle with Him, I encourage you, ask Him to show you what needs to change. Ask Him to guide you. Surrender to Him. Confess to Him. Throw yourself at His feet. Doesn't matter if you're kneeling at a couch or sitting or lying down in a bed. Just let your spirit be completely exposed and open to Him, your heart and your mind, and say, Jesus, come in and have your way. Your way is better than mine. Now, Lord, help me to walk on the path that leads to Christ and not away from Him. Let's seek Him this moment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. Lord, thank you that time and time again, as we find ourselves fallen, broken, and in need, we come to you and you accept us just as we are. Demonstrate grace and mercy and love and kindness to us. Help us out of the pit again. And oh, how many times we stood there declaring that we're never going to fall in that pit again. And yet down the road, we end up there again before you, saying, Lord, help me out of this pit. And every single time you're gracious to us. But every time we get up and walk back to Jesus, every time we cry out to Him, every time that we make a commitment not to go back, every time that we choose to walk away from the acts, the desires of the flesh, we become stronger. Because the Holy Spirit begins to do more in us, and transform us and shape us. And sometimes we don't see the growth that is happening because perhaps it's too gradual for us to see. But Lord, I ask that you would help us to see with your eyes. Lord, help us not to evaluate ourselves based on the standards of the world, based on the standards of some other believer, based on the standards of our perhaps guilty conscience. But help us to be evaluated by the eyes of Christ. May there be encouragement and comfort there. And if there's correction and a need for change, Lord, we invite you to discipline us. We invite you to correct us and challenge us. Because we know that your discipline and your correction leads to life, and life more abundantly. And if you're here this morning with us or watching this later, perhaps you never really entered into the journey of following Jesus, and you want to do that this morning, I want to pray for you as you make that commitment that the Lord will give you His Spirit and enable you to walk with Him. And if you don't have a church home or someone to walk that pathway alongside you, we encourage you to contact us. The ways to do that are there before you, and we'd be glad to help you in that journey. Or if you just need prayer right now because you're struggling, you're a believer, you're following Jesus, but you're wrestling, you're confused, you're hurting, and you need the Holy Spirit to come in and heal the damage that has happened within you, then Lord, we ask for that right now. We ask for those that are right now surrendering their lives to you. Lord, I ask that you would come in, fill them with your Spirit, demonstrate your power and your presence and your love in their life. Open their eyes to see things they weren't able to see before. And guide them every step of the way towards healing. Not just healing of the body and the emotions, but healing of the soul. Your word says that the scriptures are able to penetrate all the way down to between soul and spirit. And so, Lord, I ask that you would go into those deepest places of who they are and sanctify them and fill them to overflowing and move them to get involved in some body, some church family, some network of believers so that they can have accountability and support to continue in this journey. And when the world and the flesh and the old self call out to them, may you help them to say no and to walk away from every form of temptation. And Lord, for those that are following you but they're struggling, you are able to make beauty out of ashes. And so, Lord, whatever damage is there, I ask that you would heal it, that you would cause them to recover, that right now at this moment, they would feel the gentle touch of the hand of Christ upon their shoulder. They would feel the warmth of the love in your eyes. They would feel the gentle breeze of the breath of the Holy Spirit upon them. And they would come to know liberation and freedom. Oh, not perfection. Not that we won't struggle with things at times. But I ask that you would give them victory, Lord. That certain things that have been holding them, binding them, bottling things up, would be removed. And you would give them the infinite infilling power of the Holy Spirit that they could rise above everything and be able to walk in power and victory. And I ask, Lord, that you would help us to unlearn the taste that we've taught ourselves, the behaviors, the attitudes that are not of Christ, not like Christ. Help us to unlearn those things. The impulses that we've given ourselves over to help us to unlearn those things. And give us a zealousness and a passion for the things of God. And Lord, you said, again, I believe it's in the Psalms, to taste and see that the Lord is good. And so I ask that you would help us to begin to see just how satisfying, just how delighting it is to walk in Jesus Christ, to walk in the Spirit. We thank you for what you're doing. We ask that you would continue to be at work throughout the week. As people watch this, as people move on and do the things that they do throughout the week, continue to move in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. And I want to tell you that if the more you persist in the pathway of Christ, the more you will find it's just like the diet I described. That things you used to do, you can't believe you ever even wanted to do them. The things you see other people doing, it puzzles you because you have no desire for it. That's when you know that something has happened within you. And that's the power of Jesus Christ coming into your life. Isn't he good? He is so good. And I encourage you to keep following Jesus. Keep being a part of what God's doing. We're so grateful that you joined us this morning. Again, comment, share, like. Let us know that you are here. We continue to give the invitation, though no one's really jumped on it, but we have a prayer team that is available, would love to call you and pray for you sometime this afternoon. All you got to do is just, again, place that in a comment or Facebook message me or text me, email me, and I'll be glad to have someone call you and pray with you. I hope you'll join us next Sunday as we continue through Ephesians, Wednesday for Bible study, and join us for game night on Thursday night. We love you. We miss you. Can't wait to see you. Have a wonderful day.